And now Chapter 18 of the Madhya Lila, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Sri Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over Vrindavan and pleased all living entities, moving and non-moving, with his glances. The Lord took much personal pleasure in seeing everyone. In this way, Lord Gauranga traveled in Vrindavan. All glories to Lord Gaurachandra. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Prabhu. And all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy, but when he arrived at Aritgram, his sense perception was awakened. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the local people, "Where is Radhakund?" No one could inform him, and the Brahmin accompanying him did not know either. The Lord then understood that the holy place called Radhakund was no longer visible. However, being the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, he discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund in two paddy fields. There was only a little water, but he took his bath there. When the people of the village saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking his bath in those two ponds in the middle of the paddy fields, they were very astonished. The Lord then offered his prayers to Sri Radhakund. Of all the gopis, Radharani is the dearmost. Similarly, the lake known as Radhakund is very dear to the Lord because it is very dear to Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, and her lake, known as Radhakund, is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. In that lake, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani used to sport daily in the water and have a ras dance on the bank. Indeed, Lord Krishna gives ecstatic love like that of Srimati Radharani to whomever bathes in that lake even once in his life. The attraction of Radhakund is as sweet as that of Srimati Radharani. Similarly, the glories of the Kund, or lake, are as glorious as Srimati Radharani. Because of its wonderful transcendental qualities, Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani. It was in that lake that the all-opulent Lord Sri Krishna performed his pastimes with Srimati Radharani with great pleasure and transcendental bliss. Whoever bathes just once in Radhakund attains Srimati Radharani's loving attraction for Sri Krishna. Who within this world can describe the glories and sweetness of Sri Radhakund? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus offered prayers to Radhakund. Overwhelmed by ecstatic love, he danced on the bank, remembering the pastimes of Lord Krishna performed on the bank of Radhakund. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then marked his body with tilak made from the mud of Radhakund, and with the help of Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he collected some of the mud and took it with him. From Radhakund, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sumana Lake. When he saw Govardhan Hill from there, he was overwhelmed by joy. When the Lord saw Govardhan Hill, he immediately offered obeisances, falling down on the ground like a rod. He embraced one piece of rock from Govardhan Hill and became mad. Mad with ecstatic love, the Lord came to the village known as Govardhan. It was there that he saw the deity Haridev and offered his obeisances unto him. Haridev is an incarnation of Narayan, and his residence is on the western petal of the lotus of Mathura. Mad with ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance before the Haridev deity. Hearing of the Lord's wonderful activities, all the people came to see him. The people were astonished when they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love and personal beauty. The priests who served the Haridev deity offered the Lord a good reception. At Brahmakund, Bhattacharya cooked food, and the Lord, after taking his bath at Brahmakund, accepted his lunch. That night the Lord stayed at the temple of Haridev, and during the night he began to reflect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, "Since I shall not at any time climb Govardhan Hill, how shall I be able to see Gopal Rai?" Thinking in this way, the Lord remained silent, and Lord Gopal, knowing his contemplation, played a trick. Coming down from Govardhan Hill, Lord Gopal granted an interview to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was unwilling to climb the hill, thinking himself a devotee of Lord Krishna. Gopal stayed in a village called Anukut Gram on Govardhan Hill. The villagers who lived in that village were mainly from Rajasthan. One person who came to the village informed the inhabitants,
"The Turkish soldiers are now preparing to attack your village. Flee this village tonight and do not allow one person to remain. Take the deity with you and leave, for the Mohammedan soldiers will come tomorrow."
Hearing this, all the villagers became very anxious. They first took Gopal and moved him to a village known as Gantuli. The Gopal deity was kept in the house of a Brahmin, and his worship was conducted secretly. Everyone fled, and thus the village of Anukut was deserted. Due to fear of the Mohammedans, the Gopal deity was moved from one place to another again and again. Thus, giving up his temple, Lord Gopal would sometimes live in a bush, and sometimes in one village after another. In the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath in a lake called Manasaganga. He then circumambulated Govardhan Hill. Just by seeing Govardhan Hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became ecstatic with love of Krishna. While dancing and dancing, he recited the following verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by the gopis. "Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. O my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, as well as their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took his bath in a lake called Govindakund, and while he was there, he heard that the deity Gopal had already gone to Gantuli Gram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the village of Gantuli Gram and saw the Lord Gopal deity. Overwhelmed by ecstatic love, he began to chant and dance. As soon as the Lord saw the beauty of the Gopal deity, he was immediately overwhelmed by ecstatic love, and he recited the following verse. He then chanted and danced until the day ended. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "May the left arm of Sri Krishna, whose eyes are like the petals of a lotus flower, always protect you." With his left arm he raised Govardhan Hill as if it were a toy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Gopal deity for 3 days. On the fourth day, the deity returned to his own temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked with the deity of Gopal, and he chanted and danced. A large and jubilant crowd of people also chanted the transcendental name of Krishna, Hari, Hari. The deity Gopal then returned to his own temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the bottom of the hill. Thus all the desires of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were satisfied by the deity Gopal. This is the way of Lord Gopal's kind behavior to his devotees. Seeing this, the devotees were overwhelmed by ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very anxious to see Gopal, but he did not want to climb Govardhan Hill. Therefore, by some trick, the deity Gopal personally descended. In this way, giving some excuse, Gopal sometimes remains in the bushes of the forest, and sometimes he stays in a village. One who is a devotee comes to see the deity. The two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, did not climb the hill. To them also Lord Gopal granted an interview. In ripe old age, Srila Rupa Goswami could not go there, but he had a desire to see the beauty of Gopal. Due to fear of the Mohammedans, Gopal went to Mathura, where he remained in the temple of Atilashvar for 1 full month. Srila Rupa Goswami and his associates stayed in Mathura for 1 month and saw the deity Gopal. When Rupa Goswami stayed at Mathura, he was accompanied by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Lokanath Das Goswami. Bhugarbha Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Yadava Acharya, and Govinda Goswami also accompanied Srila Rupa Goswami. He was also accompanied by Sri Uddhava Das, Madhava, Sri Gopal Das, and Narayan Das. The great devotee Govinda, Vani Krishna Das, Pundarikaksha, Ishan and Lagu Hari Das also accompanied him. It was with great jubilation that Rupa Goswami visited Lord Gopal, accompanied by all these devotees. After staying at Mathura for 1 month, the deity Gopal returned to his own place, and Sri Rupa Goswami returned to Vrindavan. In the course of this story, I have given a description of Lord Gopal's mercy. After seeing the Gopal deity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sri Kamyavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's touring Vrindavan has been previously described. In the same ecstatic way, he traveled all over Vrindavan. After visiting the places of Krishna's pastimes at Kamyavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Nandishvar. While there, he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in all the celebrated lakes, beginning with Lake Pavan. Thereafter, he climbed a hill and spoke to the people. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Are there any deities on top of this hill?" The local people replied, "There are deities on this hill, but they are located within a cave. There is a father and a mother with well-built bodies, and between them is a very beautiful child who is curved in 3 places. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. After excavating the cave, he saw the 3 deities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his respects to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, and with great ecstatic love, he touched the body of Lord Krishna. Every day the Lord chanted and danced in ecstatic love. Finally, he went to Kadiravan. After seeing the places of Lord Krishna's pastimes, Sri Chaitanya went to Sheshashayi, where he saw Lakshmi and recited the following verse. "O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. Afterwards, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Kaila Tirtha and then went to Vandiravan. Crossing the Yamuna River, he went to Badravan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited Srivan and Lohavan. He then went to Mahavan and saw Gokul, the place of Lord Krishna's early childhood pastimes. Upon seeing the place where the twin Arjuna trees were broken by Sri Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was moved to great ecstatic love. After seeing Gokul, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Mathura, where he saw the birthplace of the Lord. While there, he stayed at the house of the Sanodiya Brahmin. Seeing a great crowd assemble at Mathura, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left and went to Akrura Tirtha. He remained there in a solitary place. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan and took his bath at the Kaliya Lake and Praskandan. After seeing the holy place called Praskandan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Dvadashaditya. From there he went to Keshi Tirtha, and when he saw the place where the Ras dance had taken place, he immediately lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. When the Lord regained his senses, he began to roll on the ground. He would sometimes laugh, cry, dance, and fall down. He would also chant very loudly. Being thus transcendentally amused, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed that day happily at Keshi Tirtha. In the evening, he returned to Akrura Tirtha, where he took his meal. The next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Vrindavan and took his bath at Shirghat. He then went to Taintuli Tala, where he took rest. The tamarind tree named Taintuli Tala was very old, having been there since the time of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Beneath the tree was a very shiny platform. Since the river Yamuna flowed near Taintuli Tala, a very cool breeze blew there. While there, the Lord saw the beauty of Vrindavan and the water of the river Yamuna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to sit beneath the old tamarind tree and chant the holy name of the Lord. At noon, he would return to Akrura Tirtha to take lunch. All the people who lived near Akrura Tirtha came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and due to the large crowds, the Lord could not peacefully chant the holy name. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to Vrindavan and sit in a solitary place. It was there that he chanted the holy name until noon. In the afternoon, people were able to speak to him. The Lord told everyone of the importance of chanting the holy name. During this time, a Vaishnav named Krishnadas came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a householder belonging to the Kshatriya caste, and his house was located on the other side of the Yamuna. After bathing at Keshi Tirtha, Krishnadas went toward Kaliya Daha and suddenly saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting at Amali Tala or Taintuli Tala. Upon seeing the Lord's personal beauty and ecstatic love, Krishnadas was very astonished. Out of ecstatic love, he offered his respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Krishnadas, "Who are you? Where is your home?" Krishnadas replied,
"I am a most fallen householder. I belong to the Rajput caste, and my home is just on the other side of the river Yamuna. However, I wish to be the servant of a Vaishnav. Today I've had a dream, and according to that dream, I have come here and found you."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then bestowed upon Krishnadas his causeless mercy by embracing him. Krishnadas became mad with ecstatic love and began to dance and chant the holy name of Hari. Krishnadas returned to Akura Tirtha with the Lord, and remnants of the Lord's food were given to him. The next morning, Krishnadas went with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan and carried his water pot. Krishnadas thus left his wife, home, and children in order to remain with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everywhere the Lord went, all the people said, "Krishna has again manifest at Vrindavan." One morning, many people came to Akura Tirtha. As they came from Vrindavan, they made a tumultuous sound. Upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people offered respects at his lotus feet. The Lord then asked them, "Where are you all coming from?" One of the persons replied,
"Krishna has again manifest himself on the waters of the Kaliya Lake. He dances on the hoods of the serpent Kaliya, and the jewels on those hoods are just blazing. Everyone has seen Lord Krishna himself. There is no doubt about it."
Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to laugh. He then said, "Yes, everything is correct." For three successive nights, people went to Kaliya Daha to see Krishna, and everyone returned saying,
"Now we have seen Krishna himself."
Everyone came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said,
"Now we have directly seen Lord Krishna."
Thus, by the mercy of the goddess of learning, they were made to speak the truth. When the people saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes, they actually saw Krishna. But because they were following their own imperfect knowledge, they accepted the wrong thing as Krishna. At that time, Balabhadra Bhattacharya placed a request at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "Please give me permission to go see Lord Krishna directly." When Balabhadra Bhattacharya asked to see Krishna at Kaliya Daha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mercifully slapped him, saying, "You are a learned scholar and you have become a fool influenced by the statements of other fools. Why will Krishna appear in the age of Kali? Foolish people who are mistaken are simply causing agitation and making a tumult. Do not become mad. Simply sit down here and tomorrow night you will go see Krishna." The next morning, some respectable gentlemen came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord asked them, "Have you seen Krishna?" The respectable gentleman replied,
"At night, in the Kaliya Lake, a fisherman, lighting a torch in his boat, catches many fish. From a distance, people mistakenly think that they are seeing Krishna dancing on the body of the Kaliya serpent. These fools think that the boat is the Kaliya serpent, and the torchlight the jewels on his hoods. People also mistake the fisherman to be Krishna. Actually, Lord Krishna has again returned to Vrindavan. That also is a truth, and people have seen him. But where they are seeing Krishna is their mistake. It is like considering a dry tree to be a person."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked them, "Where have you seen Krishna directly?" The people replied,
"You are a sannyasi, a renunciant. Therefore, you are a moving Narayan. You have appeared in Vrindavan as an incarnation of Krishna. Just by seeing you, everyone is now liberated."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately exclaimed, "Vishnu! Vishnu! No, do not call me the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A jiva cannot become Krishna at any time. Do not even say such a thing. A sannyasi in the renounced order is certainly part and parcel of the complete whole, just as a shining molecular particle of sunshine is part and parcel of the sun itself. Krishna is like the sun, full of six opulences, but the living entity is only a fragment of the complete whole. A living entity and the absolute personality of Godhead are never to be considered equal, just as a fragmental spark can never be considered the original flame. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is always full of transcendental bliss and is accompanied by the potencies known as Ladini and Samvit. The conditioned soul, however, is always covered by ignorance and embarrassed by the threefold miseries of life. Thus he is a treasure house of all kinds of tribulations. A foolish person who says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the same as the living entity is an atheist, and he becomes subject to punishment by the superintendent of death, Yamaraj. A person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayan is to be considered an offender and a Pashandi. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the difference between an ordinary living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the people said,
"No one considers you an ordinary human being. You are like Krishna in every respect, in both bodily features and characteristics. By your bodily features, we can see that you are none other than the son of Nanda Maharaj, although the golden luster of your body has covered your original complexion. As the aroma of deer musk cannot be concealed by wrapping it in a cloth, your characteristics as the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be concealed by any means. Indeed, your characteristics are uncommon and beyond the imagination of an ordinary living being. Simply by seeing you, the entire universe becomes mad with ecstatic love for Krishna. If even women, children, old men, meat-eaters, or members of the lowest caste can see you even once, they immediately chant the holy name of Krishna, dance like madmen, and become spiritual masters capable of delivering the whole world. Apart from seeing you, whoever listens to your holy name is made mad with ecstatic love for Krishna and is able to deliver the three worlds. Simply by hearing your holy name, dog-eaters become holy saints. Your uncommon potencies cannot be described in words. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog-eaters becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. These glories of yours are only marginal. Originally, you are the son of Maharaj Nanda."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then bestowed his causeless mercy upon all the people there, and everyone became ecstatic with love of God. Finally, they all returned to their homes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for some days in Akura Tirtha. He delivered everyone there simply by distributing the holy name of Krishna and ecstatic love for the Lord. The Brahmin disciple of Madhavendra Puri went from house to house in Mathura and inspired other Brahmins to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their homes. Thus all the respectable people in Mathura, headed by the Brahmins, came to Balabhadra Bhattacharya and extended invitations to the Lord. In one day, 10 to 20 invitations were received, but Balabhadra Bhattacharya would accept only one of them. Since everyone did not get an opportunity to offer invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, they requested the Sanodiya Brahmin to ask the Lord to accept their invitations. The Brahmins from different places, such as Kanyakubja and South India, who were all strict followers of the Vedic religion, offered invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great humility. In the morning, they would come to Akrura Tirtha and cook food. After offering it to the Shaligram Shila, they offered it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat at the bathing ghat of Akrura Tirtha and thought the following thoughts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, "At this bathing place, Akrura saw Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, and all the inhabitants of Vraj saw Golok Vrindavan. While considering how Akrura remained within the water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately jumped in and stayed underwater for some time. When Krishnadas saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drowning, he cried and shouted very loudly. Balabhadra Bhattacharya immediately came and pulled the Lord out. After this, Balabhadra Bhattacharya took the Sonodiya Brahmin to a secluded place and consulted with him. Balabhadra Bhattacharya said, "Since I was present today, it was possible for me to pull the Lord up. However, if he starts to drown in Vrindavan, who will help him? Now there is a crowd of people here, and these invitations are causing much disturbance. In addition, the Lord is always ecstatic and emotional. I do not find the situation here very good. It would be good if we could get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of Vrindavan. This is my conclusion." The Sonodiya Brahmin said,
"Let us take him to Prayag and go along the banks of the Ganges. It will be very pleasurable to go that way. After going to the holy place, named Sorokshetra, and taking bath in the Ganges, let us take Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that way and go. It is now the beginning of the month of Magha. If we go to Prayag at this time, we shall have an opportunity to bathe for a few days during Makara Sankranti. Kindly submit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the unhappiness you are feeling within yourself. Then propose that we go to Prayag on the full moon day of the month of Magha. Tell the Lord of the happiness you will feel in traveling via the banks of the Ganges."
Balabhadra Bhattacharya therefore submitted this prayer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said,
"I can no longer tolerate the disturbance of the crowd. People are coming one after another to offer invitations. Early in the morning, people come here, and not seeing you present, they simply tax my brain. I will be very happy if we all leave and take the path by the banks of the Ganges. Then we can have the opportunity to bathe in the Ganges in Prayag during Makara Sankranti. My mind has become very agitated, and I cannot bear this anxiety. May everything rest on the permission of your lordship. I will accept whatever you want to do."
Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no desire to leave Vrindavan, he began to speak sweet words just to fulfill the desire of his devotee. He said, "You have brought me here to show me Vrindavan. I am very much indebted to you, and I shall not be able to repay this debt. Whatever you desire, I must do. Wherever you take me, I shall go." The next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up early. After taking his bath, he became ecstatic with love, knowing that he now had to leave Vrindavan. Although the Lord did not exhibit any external symptoms, his mind was filled with ecstatic love. At that time, Balabhadra Bhattacharya said, "Let us go to Mahavan or Gokul." Saying this, Balabhadra Bhattacharya made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit aboard a boat. After they crossed the river, he took the Lord with him. Both Rajput Krishnadas and the Sonodiya Brahmin knew the path along the Ganges bank very well. While walking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding that the others were fatigued, took them all beneath a tree and sat down. There were many cows grazing near the tree, and the Lord was very pleased to see them. Suddenly a cowherd boy blew on his flute, and immediately the Lord was struck with ecstatic love. Filled with ecstatic love, the Lord fell unconscious to the ground. He foamed about the mouth, and his breathing stopped. While the Lord was unconscious, 10 cavalry soldiers belonging to the Mohammedan Patan military order rode up and dismounted. Seeing the Lord unconscious, the soldiers thought, "This sannyasi must have possessed a large quantity of gold. These 4 rogues here must have taken away that sannyasi's riches after killing him by making him take the poison dutura." Thinking this, the Patan soldiers arrested the 4 persons and decided to kill them. Because of this, the 2 Bengalis began to tremble. The devotee Krishnadas, who belonged to the Rajput race, was very fearless. The Sonodiya Brahmin was also fearless, and he spoke very bravely. The Brahmin said,
"You Pathan soldiers are all under the protection of your king. Let us go to your commander and get his decision. This sannyasi is my spiritual master, and I am from Mathura. I am a Brahmin, and I know many people who are in the service of the Mohammedan king. This sannyasi, he sometimes falls unconscious due to the influence of a disease. Please sit down here, and you will see that he will very soon regain consciousness and his normal condition. Sit down here for a while and keep us all under arrest. When the sannyasi regains his senses, you can question him. And if you like, you can kill us all."
The Pathan soldiers said,
"You are all rogues. Two of you belong to the district of Mathura. The other two, who are trembling, belong to Bengal."
Rajput Krishnadas said,
"I have my home here. And I also have about 200 Turkish soldiers and about 100 cannons. If I call loudly, they will come immediately to kill you and plunder your horses and saddles. The Bengali pilgrims are not rogues. You are rogues, for you want to kill the pilgrims and plunder them."
Upon hearing this challenge, the Pathan soldiers became hesitant. Then suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained consciousness. Coming to his senses, the Lord very loudly began chanting the holy name,
"Hari! Hari!"
The Lord raised his arms upward and began to dance in ecstatic love. When the Lord shouted very loudly in ecstatic love, it appeared to the Mohammedan soldiers that their hearts were struck by thunderbolts. Seized by fear, all the Pathan soldiers immediately released the four persons. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not see his personal associates arrested. At that time, Balabhadra Bhattacharya went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and made him sit down. Seeing the Mohammedan soldiers, the Lord regained his normal senses. All the Mohammedan soldiers then came before the Lord, worshipped his lotus feet, and said,
"Here are four rogues. These rogues have made you take Dutora, poison. Having made you mad, they have taken all your possessions."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, these are not rogues. They are my associates. Being a sannyasi beggar, I do not possess anything. Due to epilepsy, I sometimes fall unconscious. Out of their mercy, these four men maintain me." Among the Mohammedans was a grave person who was wearing a black dress. People call him a saintly person. The heart of that saintly person softened upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to talk to him and establish impersonal Brahman on the basis of his own scripture, the Koran. When that person established the impersonal Brahman conception of the absolute truth on the basis of the Koran, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refuted his argument. Whatever arguments he put forward, the Lord refuted them all. Finally, the person became stunned and could not speak. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "The Koran has certainly established impersonalism, but at the end it refutes that impersonalism and establishes the personal God. The Koran accepts the fact that ultimately there is only one God. He is full of opulence, and his bodily complexion is blackish. According to the Koran, the Lord has a supreme, blissful, transcendental body. He is the absolute truth, the all-pervading, omniscient, and eternal being. He is the origin of everything. Creation, maintenance, and dissolution come from him. He is the original shelter of all gross and subtle cosmic manifestations. The Lord is the supreme truth, worshipable by everyone. He is the cause of all causes. By engaging in his devotional service, the living entity is relieved from material existence. No conditioned soul can get out of material bondage without serving the supreme personality of Godhead. Love at his lotus feet is the ultimate goal of life. The happiness of liberation, whereby one merges into the Lord's existence, cannot even be compared to a fragment of the transcendental bliss obtained by service unto the Lord's lotus feet. In the Quran, there are descriptions of fruitive activity, speculative knowledge, mystic power, and union with the Supreme. But ultimately, everything is refuted as the Lord's personal feature and his devotional service is established. The scholars of the Quran are not very advanced in knowledge. Although there are many methods prescribed, they do not know that the ultimate conclusion should be considered the most powerful. Seeing your own Quran and deliberating over what is written there, what is your conclusion? The saintly Mohammedan replied,
"All that you have said is true. This has certainly been written in the Quran, but our scholars can neither understand nor accept it. Usually they describe the Lord's impersonal aspect, but they hardly know that the Lord's personal feature is worshipable. They are undoubtedly lacking this knowledge. Since you are that very same supreme personality of Godhead himself, please be merciful upon me. I am very fallen and unfit. Yes, I have studied the Mohammedan scripture very extensively, but from it, I cannot conclusively decide what the ultimate goal of life is or how I can approach it. Now that I have seen you, my tongue, it is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The false prestige I felt from being a learned scholar, that is now gone."
Saying this, the saintly Mohammedan fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and requested him to speak of life's ultimate goal and the process by which it could be obtained. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please get up. You have chanted the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, the sinful reactions you have accrued for many millions of lives are now gone. You are now pure." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told all the Mohammedans there, "Chant the holy name of Krishna! Chant the holy name of Krishna!" As they all began to chant, they were overwhelmed by ecstatic love. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indirectly initiated the saintly Mohammedan by advising him to chant the holy name of Krishna. The Mohammedan's name was changed to Ramdas. There was also another Patan Muslim present whose name was Vijuli Khan. Vijuli Khan was very young, and he was the son of the king. All the other Mohammedans, Patanas, headed by Ramdas, were his servants. Vijuli Khan also fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord placed his foot on his head. Bestowing his mercy upon them in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. All the Patan Mohammedans then became mendicants. Later, these very Patans became celebrated as the Patan Vaishnavs. They toured all over the country and chanted the glorious activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vijuli Khan became a greatly advanced devotee, and his importance was celebrated at every holy place of pilgrimage. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes. Coming to the western part of India, he bestowed good fortune upon the Yavanas and Malechas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next went to a holy place of pilgrimage called Sorokshetra. He took his bath in the Ganges there and started for Prayag on the path along the banks of the Ganges. At Sorokshetra, the Lord requested the Sanodiya Brahmin and Rajput Krishnadas to return home, but with folded hands they began to speak as follows. They prayed,
"Let us go to Prayag with you. If we do not go, when shall we again get the association of your lotus feet? This country is mainly occupied by Mohammedans. At any place, someone can create a disturbance,
and although your companion, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, is a learned scholar, he does not know how to speak the local language. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted their proposal by smiling mildly. Thus, those two persons continued to accompany him. Whoever got to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would feel himself overwhelmed with ecstatic love and would begin to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Whoever met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became a Vaishnav, and whoever met that Vaishnav also became a Vaishnav. In this way, all the towns and villages, one after the other, became Vaishnav. Just as the Lord inundated South India on his tour there, he also inundated the western part of the country with love of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally arrived at Prayag, and for 10 successive days bathed in the confluence of the rivers Yamuna and Ganges during the festival of Makara Sankranti, or Magh Mela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Vrindavan and his activities there are unlimited. Even Lord Shesha, who has thousands of hoods, cannot reach the end of his activities. What ordinary living being can describe the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I have only indicated the general direction in the form of codes. The pastimes and methods of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are uncommon. Unfortunate is he who cannot believe even after hearing all these things. From beginning to end, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are uncommon. Just hear them with faith and accept them as true and correct. Whoever argues about this is a great fool. He intentionally and personally brings a thunderbolt down upon his head. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are an ocean of nectar. Even a drop of this ocean can inundate the whole world with transcendental bliss. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends chapter 18 of the Madhya Lila, the Lord's visit to Vrindavan.